The Concealed Billionaire Executive. Chapter 1. What life throws. The blaring of music from the house was the only evidence that Gray needed to know that her girlfriend, Nora, was really celebrating her birthday. But she told him she wouldn't. And Gray didn't understand why she would lie to him. They've been dating for 6 months now. Gray opened the door, and Nora and several friends were dancing together. Gray was really unhappy. He called Nora's name several times, but she didn't hear that because of the loud music. Rushing to her, Gray grabbed Nora's hand. Nora held his hand too and turned her face to Gray with a sweet smile. But when she saw Gray's angry face, her smile disappeared. "Why did you come here?" Nora asked calmly. Gray said, "I think you told me that you wouldn't celebrate your birthday, so now what are you doing? Why are you lying to me?" Nora responded mockingly, "I had a lot of friends. They have decided to celebrate for me. It wasn't a big deal, anyway you didn't even have money to do it for me." Gray was in silence. He had been saving up for 4 months to get her a nice birthday present. Working as a delivery man was the most stressful work ever, and Gray had to go hungry sometimes, especially when he was bent on satisfying his girlfriend. The music stopped, and Gray looked around the apartment. The apartment was the first thing Gray did with his salary while he got a room outside the league. But he almost didn't recognize the room again. The wall paint was now cream in color. There was a huge home theater around and a large TV set. The chairs have also been altered, which shocked Gray because he doesn't remember getting new types of furniture. All Nora's friends saw Gray coming in, but they didn't care about him at all. They all knew that Gray was only a delivery man, and he even had no money for a birthday party for his girlfriend. See the wretched boy? Who invited him here anyway? A feminine voice hissed suddenly, and Gray turned towards the speaker. Is he your boyfriend, that delivery man? The woman with heavy makeup looked at Gray. I don't think he deserves such a beautiful girl like you. Nora was awkward, but in fact, she totally agreed with what the woman said. She was a Harvard student now, and Gray was only a delivery man. Although he paid for all of her costs in university. And he met her recently after he had struggled with college as well. Gray had a lot to ask them. Like, why won't she come to the party with her girlfriend? Nora was the celebrant and she was his girlfriend. Gray, however, decided to let the matter slip. He had always gone through insults like that in the past, especially the first time he entered Harvard to see his girlfriend. Though, Harvard was a place he was familiar with. But he had always gone through insult even when he was still a student in Harvard. He realized something quickly: how the rich is trampled on the poor. What happened whenever you aren't rich or whenever your family goes bankrupt? It was something Gray decided to get used to since he woke up in the orphanage. OMG! Seth is coming! Tracy squealed happily, and Gray turned around. Hearing Seth's name, Nora rushed to the door. Gray was surprised. Why was she so excited about Seth's coming? Gray looked at the door. A handsome man came in. He was wearing a fancy Armani suit, with a smile on his face. Every girl in the room was looking straight at him. Seth came into the room, seeing Nora, and holding her hand naturally. Nora felt a bit nervous since Gray was still there, but she didn't refuse Seth's act. Wait a moment. Who the fuck was Seth to her? Well, Nora started working at KK Corporation and it belonged to Seth. Nora did it to save money for school. And Gray wondered how the two got together to the extent that they could hold hands in such a manner. Gray walked closer anyway with the box in his hand. Nora, happy birthday, he greeted with a smile, ignoring the stares and the murmuring coming from the background. Nora went stiff for a moment before she and Seth turned to look at him. There was a disgusted look on Seth's face as he beheld Gray for a moment. You told me you broke up with this guy already and I clearly said I don't want to see him at this party, Seth complained. He looked older. Gray thought he didn't hear it well at first. He looked over at Nora, ignoring Seth's words. It could be a prank anyway. Gray stretched out the box, I got you a present. Nora eyed the box for a moment, took it, and threw it away. Are you blind or deaf? Or both? Can't you hear all he's saying? Gray went still for a moment. He still doesn't even believe that someone was ordering his girlfriend around in the house he got for her. Life was really full of sarcasm. Damn Nora, why will you throw away his gift? He could have saved up all the salary he earned 2 months ago for this, Tracy hinted with sarcasm. Seriously? Seth laughed, how could you move with such a pauper? This guy can't take care of you. I know, Nora accepted, I just pitied him as to why I stood in the relationship but I'm fed up with that. I need someone to take care of me. Tracy giggled, the only thing he's so good at is fucking. You know he has a big cock, she murmured and looked over at Gray. Nora blushed slightly and quickly looked away. Gray couldn't speak, didn't even know what he was supposed to say. He had never expected such disgrace to come upon him. Though, he had been managing his life with no family. According to what the sisters at the orphanage told him, he was found injured and there was no trace of his parents. And well, life have really been full of hardship for him. He got insulted at every moment. His only hope was Nora. It was only in Nora that he found peace, but he didn't realize she was only staying because she pitied him. Okay, I will help him then, Seth said suddenly and Gray looked at him. Actually, Gray was an inch taller than Seth. If you can lick my shoe, I will give you a work as security man in my company. You can earn 1,000 bucks for that. Have you ever earned that much, loser? He boasted. Come on, accept the offer, maybe in 10 years you can get your salary raised to $1,200. Tracy urged with a teasing smile. Gray looked back at Nora, at the woman he gave his heart to the moment he was lost, the moment it felt like he would never find happiness in life. Chapter 2. The Setup. Gray stared up at Seth for a moment, at the arrogance and the stupid smirk on his face. Well, he had everything under his control while the only thing Gray had was Nora. But not anymore. Nora was going to leave him as well. Nora, is this true? Or is this a prank? He asked softly. Nora sighed, yes Gray, we are breaking up. Here's Seth, my new man, she introduced and Tracy squealed with happiness. Gray doesn't even know what was making her so happy. If he ever had a way to pay back, The first person he would teach a great lesson was Tracy. And the sad thing was that she never loved him. And he really thought they both had something for each other. Gray bit back his tears, he wouldn't cry. Poor guy, you didn't even touch this woman's hands, right? You're really pathetic. If you can lick my shoes, I may give you a job as a security man in my company, how about $1,000 per month? Seth taunted. Tracy laughed. Oh. That's very kind of you, Mr. Seth. If I were you, I wouldn't talk a word to this homeless beggar. Hey loser, why don't you just get on your knees and lick shoes? This is your job interview. Seeing people insult Gray, Nora said nothing but staring at Seth smiling. She must thought that she made the right choice to be with Seth, instead of Gray. More whispers filled his ears as he proceeded to kiss Seth's shoe. Gray looked up at once and watched the smirk on Seth's face. He got up quickly and punched him on the face. Seth reeled back and Gray had to stop for a moment to help him. He didn't actually expect the punch to hurt him so much or cause so much blood on his face. But Gray was so angry to even realize it. He ran out of the house before Seth's guardians would come after him. But yes, they came after him and he ran as fast as his legs could carry him. He ran for a moment until he got to a garden on the side of the road. He jumped inside and hid behind some flowers. The men stopped at his exact location and their gaze searched around before they left. Gray stayed for some minutes before he walked out of the garden. He felt all the sadness he had been having all day. He had been trying to fit into society, but it seemed like the world wasn't even meant for people like him. That apart, why couldn't he just love like everyone else? Why does he have to fall victim to love? After all, he had done to her. He even gave her half of his salary. He did everything for her. Why then did it all have to happen as it did? Gray felt the tears under his eyes but valiantly wiped them off. He wasn't going to cry. He was only going to get drunk. Life was a waste anyway. Gray walked into Leon Bar. Leon is one of the most popular bars in Brighton. And the reason was because it has hotels and suites. Also, it has a restaurant and gymnastics. He ordered 4 bottles of beer and walked out. He settled down a few kilometers away from the bar. He didn't want to stay inside the bar for fear of oppression. There were a lot of rich men inside and staying with them would remind him of Seth. He drank the first and second beers. By the time he was drinking the third one, he was already feeling tipsy. Though, somehow he was still able to remember Nora, which wasn't the result he wanted. He dropped the third can and proceeded with the last beer. He started feeling funny halfway and suddenly, he fainted while the can dropped from his hand and wasted on the floor. His eyes went closed and he fell into a deep slumber. A man took a step closer to the bar and stopped. He was a tall man in a tuxedo suit that complemented his dark hair. I said you should find anyone. I must settle it all for tonight. He screamed annoyingly and turned towards Gray. He regarded him for a moment and a smile exploded on his face. Don't bother you, idiots. He screamed once more and beckoned one of his guards closer. Yes, boss. The man said. Smith was still looking at Gray. Get that man inside room 409. The man raised skeptical brows. That's where Madame Avery is. Smith turned to give him an icy glare. Did I say I don't know that? Just do what I asked and stop asking foolish questions. He yelled again. It looked like he loved yelling. The man bowed slightly and looked back to beckon two men over. But, Smith said suddenly, and the man turned to look at him again. Get his trousers off. That should do the trick, there was a smug on his face as he made the suggestion. The men complied and soon got inside the room where Avery was, sleeping. They carefully placed Gray on the bed beside her. Though, it was a miracle that she didn't stir at all, till they did their job and walked out of the room. It was like forever when Gray finally opened his eyes. Actually, he felt more comfortable, which aided the alcohol in his system. He turned on the bed until his hand touched skin. Violently, his hand was yanked away and a huge slap landed on his face, accompanied by a loud squeak. What the fuck have you done to me? The feminine voice screamed. Gray blinked once and tried to concentrate even though the slap hurt him so much. He sat up and his gaze searched around quickly. Unable to understand where he was, he looked back at Avery. Who are you and why am I here? How the fuck did he get into bed with a stranger and his trouser was even missing? What the fuck had happened? The realization of it struck him suddenly and his heart made a sudden thud. Chapter 3. Wishes for Death. Avery gave him a dirty glare. What sort of question is that? I should be asking you. The door opened almost immediately and King walked in, with a wide smile on his face. I knew you were always with men. I just don't know why Grandfather wouldn't trust me on it. What the fuck are you saying? Avery snapped. I know nothing. I don't even know how this idiot got on my bed. She argued. Smith smiled and took out his phone to take a shot. Gray was watching the drama, unable to ascertain what was really happening. Avery got up quickly. Please, don't do this. I have no idea how it happened. She pleaded and moved closer to him. Smith scoffed. Too late, I have already sent it to my grandfather. Damn. Avery yelled and fell to the floor. She couldn't stop the mad beating of her heart. The thought of how much her grandfather would be disappointed in her ate her raw. Hey. What am I doing here? Gray yelled suddenly, finally able to locate his voice. At first, he thought he was dreaming. He remembered getting drunk but nothing else and wondered what could have happened. He looked up at Gray. Hey, you shouldn't scream. You are caught up in this as well, then, he looked down at Avery. Save your tears, sister, Smith mocked. Because Grandfather will be here soon. Avery looked up at Smith with surprise. What do you mean? Well, Grandfather stayed in the kingdom's room yesterday night after I told him about the nonsense you were always doing behind his back. But that was nonsense. Avery snapped. I have never done this. And you know it? Well, Smith shrugged. Maybe and maybe not. Gray got out of bed and moved to the door. The door opened suddenly and some men rushed inside. Gray jerked back in fear, while Avery stood up to wipe off the tears that were on her cheeks already. Grandfather, Smith called softly as an old man walked inside the room. There was a dark frown on his face as he looked at Avery. He slowly traced it to Gray and grimaced at the kind of clothes he was putting on. Lord Lucy looked back at Avery. "I'm disappointed, Avery."
"No, Grandfather. It's not what you think," she protested helplessly.
Lucy shook his head slightly. "You know the rule, Avery."
"Yet, you broke it."
Gray had slowly succeeded in getting to the door unnoticed and was about to walk out when the men blocked his way.
"Where do you think you are going, young man?"
Gray turned to look at Lucy, and his heart made a skip. He didn't even understand anything. It still seems like a dream to him.
"From today henceforth, you will be my son-in-law."
"What?
Why?"
Gray yelled, unable to conceal his outburst.
"What the fuck happened?
He was drinking a few hours ago, but he's suddenly an in-law?
What is that supposed to mean?
How could you sleep with my granddaughter and you still have the gut to say that?
Were you going to sleep with her and run off?"
Gray stared for a moment and realized that all gazes were on him, except for Avery, who was sobbing quietly. He cleared his throat meaningfully.
"That's not what I mean. I meant to say it shouldn't be, because I don't even know her and nothing happened between us, and I'm sure of that."
Lucy glanced down at his shorts. Gray followed the path of his gaze and sighed. He was busted already. He hadn't noticed that he wasn't even wearing a trouser.
"How dare you joke with me?"
he screamed at him. And for that, he looked up at one of the men.
"Beat him up."
"What?" Gray's eyes almost went out of the socket. Gray had an argument at the tip of his mouth, but the sudden slap that landed on his cheek robbed him of the words. He landed on the floor as several hands collided on his body, each hitting him so hard that it felt like he might die. At once, he saw an image of him standing abreast someone else whose face he didn't see. He jerked out as the men stepped aside. He coughed out blood and managed to look around the room. Lucy wasn't in the room again, and the men were walking out one after the other. Gray closed his eyes instantly when he realized he was feeling dizzy, and he knew with the pain coming from his nose means that it was broken. His body hurt so much that it felt like all his bones were all broken.
"Pitiful," Smith mocked.
"Avery, you should check your husband and make sure he's not badly injured.
So, you guys won't lose face for Robinson.
You know you have to be at the party," he laughed and finally strode out of the room.
"What have you done to me?"
Avery sobbed harder from behind him. Some men rushed in again, and Gray's heart skipped another beat. At first, he thought they were back to give him another beating of his life. Instead, they moved to Avery.
"Madam, your car is ready," one of the men announced.
Gray curled up into a fist of the ball, with pains rolling in him. Avery didn't answer the man and sobbed for another moment before she finally stood up. She looked over at Gray.
"I hate you so much for ruining my life," she took a step and stopped.
"One of my men will drive you home. He will be at your house tomorrow morning so we can go to the party tomorrow morning.
You should also go to the hospital for a checkup.
My grandfather will kill you if you don't come to the party." With that, she walked out of the room with some men except for one.
Gray closed his eyes for another moment. He didn't even want to get up, but he knew he had to. He was truly hurt, and maybe he would need to go to the hospital.
The man in the room didn't hurry him up, which he was glad about.
Gray slowly stood up, but he coughed out more blood. Perhaps there was something else that had broken inside him. His heart had been shattered already, but he knew something else had happened to him. Perhaps he was going to die. Maybe he should. He was fed up of anyways. Chapter 4. He's a master. He staggered back to get his trouser from the bed. He was still feeling dizzy when he managed to slip his trouser on. The man, sensing his actions, guarded him to the car. Gray only had to tell the driver his address and didn't even know when they got home. When he stepped out, he stopped suddenly as he felt peace overtaking him. Suddenly, he wasn't feeling pain as he initially was. It felt like he was healing up. The pain coming from his nose was also gone. No, that wasn't it. It was his determination that was making his blood boil. What if there was something about himself that he doesn't know? He couldn't just drop from the sky, something must be connected to him. It was at that moment that he was determined to get back his memory at all cost. Perhaps there was more to him that he didn't know. The drive to the party was longer than Gray had expected. Dressed in a black suit that he had struggled to buy after his third salary, and a black shoe, Gray complimented it with his good look. Avery didn't talk to him when he got to her house. And the view that greeted him told him the reason why she was so upset. Gray was a pauper and nobody, but Avery was a billionaire. For Gray, he never wanted any of it as well and didn't even remember the previous chapter of his life. It felt like life was playing tricks on him. He had to visit the hospital last in the night and the doctor confirmed that he broke some ribs, but he would be fine. Gray played with the big ring on his finger. Actually, the ring was the only living thing he found on himself after he woke up in the orphanage years back. Though he didn't remember anything about it, the ring gave him a sense of belonging. So, he loved wearing it even though it was old-fashioned already. "Can you please remove the ring? It's old-fashioned and annoying," Avery said softly. Gray looked at her for a moment. "I'm sorry, but I can't. The ring is all that I am." Avery scoffed just as the car pulled to a sudden stop. It seemed like they'd arrived at the party hall already. Diamond Hall was the venue for the party and it was one of the top-notch in the state. Billionaires loved to party in it because of its designs and high-quality taste. Actually, Gray had never imagined he could be entering such a building so soon in his life. When they walked inside, the first person Gray saw was Seth. He was walking towards them with a lady whose hand was locked in his. Apparently, it seemed like Seth saw them first. "What the fuck are you doing here?" Seth sounded surprised. Avery sighed. "He's my husband." "Husband?" Seth was suddenly afraid, because he knew he's nothing compared to Lucy family, but since Gray had a wife from Lucy family, why he wanted to be with Nora. "Oh, see a dear cousin and her homeless husband," Smith said suddenly, coming to join the others. Seth was confused, but soon Smith explained, "He is just a son-in-law in Lucy family, the lowest person in our home, lower than servants." "I have a home," Gray said at once, already boiling with anger. Hearing Smith's words, Seth suddenly burst into laughter. "Then, I'm going to put your good-for-nothing husband into jail. He should learn to be one." Avery stepped forward. "You will not speak to him that way." He's here as an invitee and as important as you are. Seth laughed the more. You should be ashamed of marrying him. He's nothing but a loser and well, he's not as important as I am because he has nothing. Absolutely nothing. He muttered with a smug face. Seth, what the fuck is happening here? A rich baritone voice boomed again, and everyone turned to look at him. He was dressed in a Brioni Vanquish 2 suit that cost $43,000. Apparently, he was very wealthy. Don't mind him, Mr. Alfred, Seth said quickly. This guy is a criminal and a loser. He should be kicked out of the party, he opined. Avery sighed and looked away with embarrassment while Smith gave Seth a pleasing smile. Alfred nodded at him and looked over at Gray, at his old suit. I don't remember I invited you. Who are you? Avery explained, Sir, he's my husband, he didn't mean to mess your party, I'll let him leave right now. Alfred looked at Avery, little princess of Lucy family. Okay, just let him leave. I won't give him an extra punishment. Okay, I'll leave. Gray reluctantly raised his hand. At this moment, Alfred suddenly noticed the ring on Gray's finger. Shock flickered across his face as he noted the inscription on the ring, though he couldn't really see it clearly. What are you waiting for? Get the good-for-nothing guy out of the hall at once. Seth yelled when Alfred's guardian stood back. Alfred raised a hand to stop them and looked up at Gray. May I see you for a moment? Gray stopped. Are you talking to me? Yes, young man, don't leave, come with me. Alfred said, he shaked his hand, his guardians then surrounded Gray. Avery was scared. Alfred is the most powerful and rich man in the city, even Lucy family can't disobey his order, not to mention to rescue a son-in-law from him. Although Avery hated Gray, she didn't want him to be killed. Don't worry, girl, I won't hurt him. Alfred saw the worry on Avery's face, he comforted her, which he seldom does. Gray's feet felt heavy as he followed and well, couldn't stop feeling out of place. He entered a room and the door closed behind him. He looked behind him, while fear crawled into him. Don't be scared, Alfred said suddenly. I just need to check something. Gray looked at him and raised a brow. What is that? Alfred looked down at the ring. May I have a look? Gray clenched his teeth angrily. I'm not giving you this ring. It's mine and I don't care if it's old-fashioned but it's mine. What? Alfred gathered his brows. No, I mean I'm not taking it. I just want to check out something, please. Gray hesitated for a moment and slowly stretched the ring out. Alfred took it and looked over at the inscription. The word was clear as the day. There was a big Hercules on it. Alfred's heart skipped a beat as he looked up at Gray, his body shuddering slightly. This old man was very excited, he mumbled, Hercules, Hercules. Gray didn't know what happened but he didn't dare to move. Suddenly Alfred got on his knee, the old man cried. Finally we found you, Master. Chapter 5. Pained Memories. Gray narrowed his eyes on him and wondered if he knew the strange man but his face was not at all familiar to him. His eyes went wide when Alfred went to his knees. Greetings, Hercules. It's my pleasure to see you and even talk to you, He smiled and finally stood up. Gray was still skeptical, unable to believe a thing. It was a wonder that Alfred was referring to him as a master, but he found it difficult to believe someone as rich as Alfred knew someone like him. Then, that brought him to the fact that something was really amiss somewhere. There was something about his past that seemed to be connected to something very much important. No one could explain to him how his life was before he was found by the sisters at the orphanage. And he didn't remember anything as well. It still felt like there was a fog in his memory. "Where have you been?" Alfred was all smiles as he asked. "For 10 years, we've been searching. Finally I found the successor of Hercules. Who would have thought I would find you, son?" He laughed. "You must be Hercules's son. Did your father tell you about us before he died?" Gray blinked once. "I have a father? And he's dead." Just as he was done talking, he saw a flash of an image. He saw an older man walking side by side with a boy whose features looked similar to Gray. "Tell them, it's Hercules," the man's thick voice frightened everyone in the room except the young boy. Then he turned to look at him. "We are going to the party together, Gray." Then, he jerked out again and the image was gone and Gray was looking back at Alfred. It seemed like he was finally getting something out of his memory. Though, he wondered why it took so long. "What are you talking about?" Gray still had a skeptical look on his face and he wasn't really understanding it all. All he could remember were images and not entirely the whole lost page of his life. "No one has told you about Hercules. He's the best friend of the founder of our business empire. Leo, we built a tremendous business empire, just to find you, the Hercules." Our big boss Alfred raised a brow. "I, Leo, and your father?" Gray stared back at him and a realization hit him quickly that he almost fell. He could see more images suddenly and it seemed like his heart was racing as he went through some trances. Gray turned around and gripped the desk harder as he saw everything. Actually, something happened after his father and Leo had created the Mafia Group. The enemies turned up one day and tried to eliminate them. Gray and his father were on their way to the party when they showed up. It turned out actually that Leo betrayed his father. His father was killed right before him, but he couldn't reach him because the car accident had thrown him over to the other side. He tried to crawl nearer and plead with Leo, but his father was killed. One of the men also shot Gray. Gray opened his eyes with a gasp. His heart pounded madly in his heart and a sudden headache set in. He had been trying so hard to remember his life before he was found by the sisters in the orphanage. But now that he has, he feels so terrible about it. And he only wanted to see Leo and ask him why he betrayed his father. He turned to Alfred immediately. Looking at Alfred now and he could remember the name of someone he knew so well, "Do you know one eye, John? Where is he?" Alfred's eyes went wide with shock for a moment. "Yes. You do remember." He sighed and looked sober. "John was killed in the attack. We found your father's corpse but we couldn't find you and we have been looking for you since then." Gray closed his eyes for another instant and dragged his breath. He felt so terrible. "My father was killed, I saw it." Alfred opened his mouth as shock took over him. "What? Where were you? I thought you didn't follow Hercules to the party since we couldn't find your body as well." Actually, his eyes thinned and sadness mirrored it. "We thought you were dead." Gray furrowed his brows. "I was dead. 3 bullets to my rib and chest. I was fucking dead," he yelled, angrily. He doesn't want to think about it, but fuck. How else was he supposed to admit to you the fact that his father got betrayed by one of his best friends? Alfred moved to his desk, unlocked it, and brought out a picture. He walked back to Gray and stretched it out. "This is the 3 friends, Leo, Rio, and I." Gray took the picture from him and stared down at the pictures. He recognized Alfred as he was still wearing the same face. His father was in the middle and then, there was Leo. Gray still remembered the grin on Leo's face as he shot his father in the head. He couldn't scream, he couldn't walk. The only thing he could do was yell in his head and cry out as the life was being sucked out of his father. "Something is wrong somewhere," he hinted and went to sit. He was still holding the picture and staring at it with such intensity that could frighten anyone. Why did Leo betray his father? Why did he kill him? The answers to these questions eluded him. Though, at that moment, he would like to snap Leo's head off his neck and avenge his father's death. "What happened?" Alfred moved nearer. "Where have you been living all these years?" Gray looked up at him, with pain in his eyes. "I was living at the orphanage. I got out years later and started working hard to send myself to college." Alfred blinked once. "I must inform Charles about this. Everyone will be happy to see you." Gray remembered something. "Who's Charles, and what's all this stuff about Hercules? I know it's my father's name, but what's so special about it?" "Well, Leo, Rio and I built a business empire and a mafia group with over 20,000 members from all over the world. And Charles is the son of Leo, he took over 10 years ago. Leo died while saving your father. He was burnt beyond recognition." Gray eyes went wide with shock. "Leo killed his father. He was trying to save him. What the fuck was happening?" "But something is currently happening and we are currently keeping a low profile. And it will be best if you do the same," Alfred hinted. Alfred continued. "If they knew you were Hercules, they would definitely come to kill you. You will have to face tons of killers and assassins. I know you're the best at fighting, but you can't protect yourself every minute." Gray looked up at him with confusion written all over him. "What can this problem be about?" "I think you will need to speak with Charles about it. Though, I don't think you guys can see at this moment as he's being watched. It will only complicate you." Gray clenched his teeth. He didn't want to see Charles. He didn't want to speak with the traitor's son. "But why should I have to see Charles? And my father didn't tell me anything about the mafia group. If he has one, he would let me in on it." Alfred sighed. "Maybe he was just trying to protect you. And Charles is second in command to Hercules, which is you." Gray closed his eyes as bitterness swam into him like bees. How could the son of the traitor be in his father's business? Also, why would Charles lie? Alfred stared at him for a moment before he moved to his desk. He took a check and wrote some amount on it. Then, he walked back to Gray and stretched it out. Gray opened his eyes and stared down at the amount on the check. It was a $100 million. "I think you should have this. Till you can return to your position as the Hercules, you might need it. Gray stared at the paper longer than expected. It seemed like his life was about to make drastic changes. Though, there were lots of mysteries left to unfold. Chapter 6. Who is he really? Avery looked over at the direction from where Gray went with worries written all over her. She wondered what was happening inside and why Gray was taking a while before he came out. Seth laughed suddenly. Seemed like the small boy was getting a taste of his medicine already. Smith joined in. It's just a pity he wasn't even able to enjoy his wife before his death, Smith teased. Avery's heart skipped a beat at their words. Well, it was something Alfred could do. Come on. Mr. Alfred doesn't tolerate rags like him. He's not going to be left alive, Seth suddenly took a glass of juice. He sipped it and laughed again. Somehow the weather is good. Come on. Smith feigned seriousness. It's bad weather after all. A dog would die. They both burst into laughter while Avery felt her feet gone cold. Her body shuddered at the fact that she was turning into a widow just a day after she was proclaimed married. Don't call my husband a dog. Avery retaliated. She couldn't take it anymore. Smith looked over at her. What is he then? I bet dogs are even better than him. And Alfred can recognize that from miles away. Yes, Seth supported. Who doesn't know that Alfred doesn't take nonsense? Gray was a criminal anyways and deserved to die, he made a little smile, feeling pride in himself. The door opened suddenly and every direction turned towards it. Amazingly, Gray walked out with Alfred, unharmed. Shock kept Seth and Smith speechless and motionless for a while as they watched Alfred and Gray advance towards them. Seth's eyes went wide. What the fuck, he muttered thickly while his grip on the cup hardened. Why didn't Mr. After kill him? It looked to me that he didn't even touch him. Smith raised skeptical brows. I'm as shocked as you are. Why will they spend such a long time in the room and his nose hasn't even been broken? He complained. Here, Alfred started when he was closer to them, with a bright smile on his face. Actually, one can say he was happy. The only thing they didn't understand was what he was happy about. Here's Gray, a son of one of my friends. What the fuck? Seth almost yelled out loud, but he quickly comported himself. He knew who Alfred was and would never offend him. He looked at Smith quickly. How did the lowlife become the son of someone that Alfred knows? Avery was also shocked by the revelation and somewhat relieved that her husband wasn't entirely a pauper. Though, it was still surprising that Gray was living in the kind of house that he was. She later concluded it could be that he went bankrupt. Even if that was the case, it only showed that Gray's father wasn't as rich as the Robinson family. And certainly not as rich as Alfred. And yes, Alfredo continued. You should all enjoy the party, he announced happily and walked away. What the fuck just happened? Mr. Alfred isn't even sending him out again. Has he forgotten I told him that Gray was a criminal? He broke my fucking nose. He spoke angrily, then looked at Smith. What's going to happen to us now, though? He complained fearfully. Hey, come on. Smith nudged Seth by his shoulder. Gray isn't that intimate with Alfred. There's no possible way he could be. Who knows, he could have been an adopt Edson. Seth nodded as well, and the shock was suddenly gone from his face. He drank his wine comfortably now. He watched as Alfred disappeared through the crowds. "Don't you think something is wrong?" Smith said again, suddenly. "Alfred is walking away. That means he's not interested in him." Seth raised a brow at him and looked over at Alfred and the suit he was wearing. It was one of the lowest suits in the party. How did they get connected? How could that idiot be someone that Alfred knows? Seth was still skeptical. Smith shrugged. "Like I said earlier, I don't think he's really that related. If he was, do you think Alfred wouldn't have kicked us out?" he ascertained. Seth gulped down the whole content from the cup with him. "Yes, you are right. Also, it seemed like Alfred doesn't even like him a bit. Perhaps he hated him to start with. If Gray was truly someone he loved, he wouldn't have left like that. He would have tried to get familiar with him." Seth nodded finally. "You were right. This is proof that Alfred doesn't even like Gray that much." Gray remembered everything now. In fact, more images of himself were entering his head. He remembered how much he knew in combat. But the situation at hand only allows him to stay hidden again. But he couldn't stop thinking about the loss of his father and John. Gray missed them so very much. He wondered how he survived. He got shot 3 times, but he survived. It felt like a miracle. Seeing that he was all right, Avery went cold again. She tried to act like she doesn't even care and plastered a dark frown on her face. "I thought you were not going to come out again," Avery said coldly. Gray smiled. "Were you worried about me?" Avery picked a glass of water. "Not a bit. You should be careful anyways if you love your life," she muttered. Seth and Smith moved nearer again. "Seems like the son isn't getting the desired treatment," Seth teased. "I bet he wasn't a beloved." Smith laughed. Seth laughed and his gaze searched around him quickly. "What the fuck were you two discussing inside?" he asked anxiously. Gray didn't reply and took a cup of wine. He sipped it slowly with a heavy heart. He didn't even have the time to exchange words with them. What was on his mind were the people he had lost. "Fuck," Seth cussed. "He's such an idiot." Gray turned towards him suddenly, with a stab of annoyance. He could actually break more of his nose at that moment. Chapter 7. Steel he's made of. Avery refused to talk with Gray until the end of the party and they were heading towards the car. Avery stopped walking and turned to look at Gray. "I hope you know there's no fucking way I will come home with you. I can't live in a house like that," she snapped. Gray watched her for a moment. "I'm your husband after all, why can't you?" he teased. Avery scoffed. "Seriously? Is this because my grandfather gave me to you on a platter of gold? I'm sure you know my worth. But we are married now. Should there still be any barrier?" Gray probed deeper. "How the fuck did you get on my bed in the first place?" she asked angrily. Gray sighed. "I wanted to ask you the same thing." "Well, I don't care. You should find something to do with that." "I'm out of here," she said tiredly. One of her guardians opened the door for her and she entered. Gray watched her until she was out of sight. He sighed and looked down at his ring. What if he hadn't worn the ring to the party? The alarm rang and jolted Gray out of his trances. He turned on the bed and eventually collided with the floor with a sudden thud. He sat up and rubbed his arm slightly. He had dreams about himself, John and his father. And it still pained him to realize that they were gone and he would never be able to see them again. But he was somehow grateful for Alfred, for he did all he could to make sure that the business empire did excellently and the mafia group didn't break. And now that he was back, it was his turn to continue the work they had started. Though, he still wondered why his father would keep the mafia group away from him. Maybe if he hadn't, he might still be alive. But as Alfred had said, he would still need to keep a low profile. He had a job as a delivery man, which would be the best cover for his identity. Who would imagine that the famous Hercules' son is a delivery man? It was very impossible. Gray did all he could to get ready for work. He still had the check that Alfred wrote for him, but he had no idea how to make use of it just yet. He was going to wait for the right time. Within an hour, Gray was already driving to the delivery company on his bike. He arrived on time as his house was near. "Hey, delivery man," Chris teased with a smirk the moment he walked to the lobby. Gray sighed. Actually, Chris was part of the workers that was always embarrassing him at any free chance that they got. And seeing that Chris was a full worker that earned more than he does, he didn't blame him. "I'm here for work," he muttered thickly. Chris laughed again as if he just joked about something. "Anyway, the boss will like to see you. But where the fuck did you go yesterday?" Gray ignored him and walked towards the boss's office. Replying to Chris would be a waste of time. He moved to the door and knocked slowly. "Good morning, boss," he whispered with his head placed on the door. "You had better enter right now before I force you to," Philip boomed from the office. Gray pushed the door open to review a robust man in his 60s, staring at him with such intensity that could make him vanish. "Good morning, boss. Chris said you wanted to see me," Gray tried his best to pretend he didn't know anything. Philip intertwined his hands in front of him. "What is good about the morning, Gray? Why were you absent from work yesterday?" Gray kept quiet. He hadn't really thought of an excuse to say. "No, you don't even need to," Philip said the moment Gray opened his mouth to say something. "I've always known that you were this good-for-nothing pauper. How dare you do business as if you own this company?" he snarled. "I have no use for your baubles. Just leave this company, Gray. You are fired," he barked. Gray felt a surge of anger at his words. He was actually expecting him to fire him because he heard of his closeness with Seth. And since he had some scores to settle with Seth, he would always find a way to humiliate him wherever he went. He knew that Seth must have been the one that talked Philip into making such a decision. Though, it was also his fault. If he wasn't absent the day before, then Philip wouldn't have used it against him. He nodded briefly. "It's all right. I am going to leave your company, but you are going to give me my payment for this month." Philip scoffed. "You must be dreaming if you think that would happen. You don't deserve a penny and you won't get it. What? Are you kidding right now?" I worked for this. It's my payment. Gray protested. Let's see about that, Philip hissed and picked up the telephone. He pressed some buttons. Hey. Get your men inside my office right now. He almost didn't finish talking when the door burst open and 8 men walked in. Philip pointed at Gray. Hit him as hard as you can and drop him out of my company. He ordered. Gray stared at Philip for a moment. He felt another surge of anger coupled with amazement. He looked back at the men and watched them move closer to him. The first man launched an attack at Gray, but he dodged it and punched him in the nose. The man yelled and backed off. 2 men rushed to him at once. He dodged the first attack and kicked the second man away. Get him, you idiots! Philip yelled with frustration. Gray smiled at the remaining 5 men and beckoned them over. Gray grabbed one that was near and turned him around quickly. He did a flying kick toward the other 4 men. He turned back to the one he was holding and hit him across the face. Gray turned towards Philip with a bright smile plastered across his face. He launched forward and caught his hand, then he twisted it back. Philip screamed out in pain. My salary or you can as well die. Please, Philip beseeched softly. I will write you a check now. Gray squeezed it the more. I'm sorry, Philip screamed again. I will give it to you. Gray let go of him and watched him move to his desk. He retrieved an envelope filled with money and stretched it out to Gray. Gray smiled and took it from him. His phone rang suddenly as he stepped out of the office. It was an unknown number, but he picked it up. Yes, hello. Yes, Hercules, this is Alfred. I would like to introduce you to someone, he's also a mafia boss in the city and very trustworthy. How about dinner? A dinner at Weathervane Restaurant. And Weathervane Restaurant is top-notch, a place where Gray had never imagined he would go. Chapter 8. Frustration. Pizza Man. Delivery. A man yelled from outside of Gray's house. Gray smiled and picked a $100 bill. He opened the door and stretched out the money. Thank you for ordering. It's $1.15. Keep the money. He replied immediately and took the pizza from him. He closed the door before the man would say anything else. He stared at the pizza and remembered he hadn't ordered pizza in forever because he was saving money for Nora's birthday gift. Gray remembered what Alfred had told him and wondered how he was supposed to keep a low profile after losing his job. But at least, he could afford nice delicacies now unlike before. After eating, Gray decided to take a long rest as he could still feel some pains from the beating he got from waking up beside Avery on the bed. When Gray woke up, it was almost 6 and he decided to get ready for dinner. He had a quick shower and wore a gray shirt with black trousers. Actually, it was one of his best clothes. He was going to Weathervane, even though he knew that his kind of attire didn't fit a place like that. He took a cab instead and soon arrived at the restaurant. He stood outside the building for a moment, admiring the outer setting. The Weathervane was among the top 5 luxurious restaurants in the city. People rated it high for a lot of things. And it's mostly patronized by people of high class and their dishes are expensive. In one word, whoever can afford Weathervane is a rich man. He let out a sigh and moved towards the entrance. Hey. A voice stopped him suddenly and the speaker ran to block him from entering the restaurant. "What the fuck are you doing?" With his attire, one could guess he was a waiter. Gray blinked once, then twice. "I'm trying to enter the restaurant. Why are you questioning me and why are you in my way?" The waiter stared at him for a moment and suddenly burst into laughter. "Are you kidding me? You seriously think I was going to let you enter?" Gray gave him a confused look. "And why won't you do that?" The waiter gave him another scrutiny. Gray followed the path of his gaze and realized he was looking at the clothes he was wearing. "I'm very familiar with people of your caliber. I will never let you constitute a nuisance here. You will never enter," he stated firmly. Gray stared at him, confused. "What is really happening here? Why can't I enter the restaurant? Do you know me from somewhere?" "Well, I don't need to know you before I can guess what you are here to do. And I'm here to stop you," he snarled at him. "I don't know why all these poor people think you can steal meals at every restaurant." "Weathervane isn't your kind," he sprouted out. Gray felt a surge of anger at his words, but he decided to stay cool about it as he didn't want to act a nuisance at such a nice restaurant. He took his phone instead and dialed Alfred's number. He picked up immediately. "Yes, Hercules, where are you?" Gray stared at the waiter for a moment. "I'm in front of Weathervane. Have you booked a seat?" "No, why do I have to do that when I'm the boss? Just enter and you will be well attended to. Also, I will be at Weathervane soon," Alfred explained. "Well," Gray started and realized that the waiter was watching him intensely with dirty glares. "I couldn't enter because a waiter wouldn't let me," he reported. "I was even mocked by him and he had kept me standing for some minutes now. What the fuck? What stupid waiter could that be?" he boomed angrily. "Just give me 10 minutes, I will be in Weathervane soon. Please, don't be offended," he apologized. Gray nodded. "All right, I will be expecting," he finished up and hung up. The waiter scoffed again. "Very funny. Are you trying to play games here? I'm definitely not going to let you in," his eyes hardened on him. "And you are only bluffing. You didn't call anyone and there's no fucking way you'd afford Weathervane expensive meals," he insulted. Gray opened his mouth to counter his insult, but a deep voice from behind him stopped him. "Look at your poor ex-boyfriend," Seth mocked further as he and Nora walked to view. Nora giggled. "He's never my boyfriend. He is just some struggling guy. And I think he should struggle and get some money before he thinks he could have a girlfriend. You should never look down on someone like that," Gray warned. Seth and Nora laughed harder. "That's so funny. By the way, what the fuck are you doing here? Because I know there's no way you can afford the expensive meals here." Gray shrugged with a little smile. "Well, Alfred invited me here." "Oh," Seth nodded and looked over at Nora. "I didn't tell you that Mr. Alfred claimed he was a grandson to one of his friends. He must be here to ask for his help." Nora nodded briefly. "That mean he didn't invite him here?" "Of course," Seth boomed. "You heard me well," Gray said quickly. "I just said he invited me here," he opined with a serious expression. The waiter laughed again.
I knew it.
I knew you were a joker. Seth, Nora, and the waiter burst into laughter. Gray felt a slight stab of annoyance, but he decided not to say any word. Seth was always used to twisting his words. Suddenly, a Bugatti Centauri SI pulled up in the parking lot. Gray and the rest looked back as Alfred got out of the car. He was, however, accompanied by another man. This man was Gregory, the CEO of the popular clothing line in the city. He was also a boss of a big mafia in the city. Gray's eyes widened. He'd heard a lot about Gregory. He just didn't believe that the person he was supposed to meet was Gregory. No, the real question was, why would Gregory want to see him? Was it trouble or not? Chapter 9. Face smacking. Gregory was a tall and sturdy man like Gray. He was just slightly taller and with a face that could be described as being handsome. He was dressed in a Dormeuil Vanquish 2 suit worth $95,319. Everything about him actually speaks rich. Gray had also heard about him, but it was the first time he would be seeing him. What the fuck is happening here? Alfred asked the moment he was closed enough. Gregory stood by the car and he seemed to be on a call. I'm sorry, sir, but the only thing going on here is about this man. I refused his entry because he was a thief.
What?
Alfred yelled angrily and slapped the waiter on the face. How dare you call him a thief? And why the fuck will you refuse him entry? Is this your restaurant or my restaurant? He boomed. Anyways, I invited him here, and for treating my guest in such a way, you are fired.
Oh my.
The waiter went down on his knees immediately. Please don't fire me. He pleaded. Gray looked up at Seth and Nora. There was a surprised look on their face as they hurried into the restaurant. Gray smiled, feeling happy in himself.
Please, I'm so sorry.
Please.
I'm so sorry for looking down at you.
The waiter screamed desperately, his gaze on Gray as he was led out. Gray watched him for a moment until he was out of sight.
Please. Do come in, Alfred urged and walked ahead while Gray followed quickly.
He noticed that Gregory was also walking behind him, but he was careful to keep his pace. That was actually the number one characteristic of being proud. They took another route by their left and walked out to various rooms by the left. Before they could step inside, a waiter hurried closer to them.
Welcome, boss, can I get you something? He said with respect. His eyes darted at Gray, then back at Alfred.
Alfred nodded.
Yes, wines will do.
Can I get the list of wines that you have currently?
I mean top-notch.
The waiter smiled.
I have it memorized already.
So, we have Tequila Ley, which costs $3.5 million, Billionaire Vodka, which costs $3.7 million, Isabella Islay Whiskey, which costs $6.2 million, and Armand de Brignac Midas, which costs $265,000, he replied with a bright smile, feeling proud of himself.
Gray exclaimed softly.
Wines that cost a lot of money. Who would have thought he would be able to drink wines like that?
Alfred thought for a moment.
I have special guests with me today. So, I think I will be going with the highest. Isabella Islay Whiskey is best. I want three in the VIP room right now. Understood, boss. He took a short bow and turned around quickly.
Why must your waiter mention the price of your wines before you choose the one you want?
Gregory said suddenly, with a teasing voice, yet his voice was deep and with a strange aura.
Because I don't follow the taste of wines, I go with the event of the day.
And the prices of the wine would determine what event it would go with.
Gregory chuckled.
Weird equation.
Alfred moved to the first door and unlocked it.
He stopped to look back at Greg.
There's privacy here, you won't have to worry about anyone revealing your identity.
Gray nodded and followed him inside the exquisite room.
It was a big room with a small round table and six comfortable chairs around it.
There were two bouquets at each side of the room, close to the table.
There was a big chandelier hanging over the table that almost looked as though it would come down at any moment.
They all moved to sit.
Gray used the opportunity to give Gregory a deep scrutiny.
Nice cheekbone, well-carved eyebrows that could move at intervals, and a mouth that played quickly.
The way he sat, Gray realized that it showed power.
He commands power and he wouldn't be someone that would easily be ordered around.
And Gray might have a problem with that.
Though, it was nothing that couldn't be settled that night.
So, Alfred turned slightly towards Gregory.
I found Hercules's grandson, but he's currently undercover, which is why I had to call him here.
There was a soft knock on the door.
It opened almost immediately and two waiters walked inside.
One was with two buckets of wine while the other was with a bucket of wine and three glass cups.
Anything else, boss?
The guy stepped aside while Gregory helped himself by pouring the wine into the cup.
No, I will call you if I ever need to, Alfred assured, and the waiters walked out.
I supposed he is Hercules.
Gregory moved the cup to his mouth and watched Greg through the transparent glass.
Yes.
I wanted him to meet with the elders.
I think he should do that before he would come to the group to address the members.
There's something that amuses me, Gregory scoffed suddenly and looked down at the wines on the table.
I wonder why you are the one doing the talk.
Is the Hercules dumb?
You will not speak like that to Hercules.
Alfred said at once.
Gray laughed and looked up at Gregory for a moment.
I like your boldness.
No wonder you are the boss, but you should accept who you are.
I am Hercules and I am here to take my position.
Gregory laughed.
Seriously?
You were absent for so long.
He snapped.
You can't just come back one day and start claiming the position.
Right, Gray nodded briefly. I know I have been absent for so long, but I'm back and I will try all I can to prove to everyone how much of Hercules that I am.
Alfred smiled.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Gregory scoffed suddenly and forced Gray's gaze towards him.
He wasn't really expecting him to accept him immediately.
Gregory was known for his stubbornness.
That aside, who would let a kid like him control him?
But what was he supposed to do?
Chapter 10.
Claiming the position.
Not mine.
Gregory snickered.
I haven't accepted you as my boss.
And I'm going to challenge you.
Alfred turned to Gregory.
Stop this, Gregory.
He snapped.
Let's fight.
If you lose, you will forget about being Hercules and take some money to make a life elsewhere.
What the fuck is this?
That's not happening.
Alfred screamed at Gregory.
Gray stared at him for a moment and took the wine in front of him. He didn't use the cup and instead gulped it down. In the process, some of the alcohol poured all over his body, but he didn't care. He hit the bottle on the table forcefully and looked over at Gregory.
I accept the duel.
What? Alfred turned to look at Gray.
You will not do this. He opined.
No, Alfred, Gray said. I think this is exactly what we have to do. Alfred let out a defeated sigh when he realized that the two were bent on having a duel. Within an hour, Gregory had found a perfect boxing club. Actually, it was one that Gregory loved going to. He made sure that there was no one around to witness the fight, except for Alfred, who would be the living witness. Gregory took off his wristwatch and gave it to one of the workers, who walked out immediately.
Maybe you should have a rethink, because I won't go easy on you, he threatened.
Gray smiled. I was going to say that to you. Gregory scoffed and looked up at Alfred.
Who are you placing your bet on?
Me or Gray? Alfred stared at Gregory for a moment.
Hercules, obviously. He has hidden skills you might be surprised by.
Gregory laughed.
You are going to regret this.
He promised and moved to the ring.
Gray nodded briefly and pulled the ropes away to get inside the ring.
He watched Gregory for a moment and made a quick assessment of him. The way he threw his punches showed that he was fast, but well, Gray had trained to be faster than the lion. He knew how much he spent to be the best. Though, at that time, he didn't know exactly why his father wanted him to train. Gray took two steps closer and watched him for another moment. He went on his stance, with 1 foot space between his legs, while his eyes were moving with Gregory's movement. Gregory punched the air again and then turned towards Gray quickly, catching him unaware, but he knew his every move before he started. Gray dodged quickly, only missing Gregory's punch with only a hair breadth. Gregory launched another punch at his stomach, but Gray made a quick curve and punched Gregory on his shoulders instead. Gregory got pushed away, but he soon regained his stance and advanced toward Gray again.
You should give up, Gregory.
Alfred yelled happily. And at that moment, Gray decided to end the fight once and for all. Gregory launched an uppercut attack at Gray, but he dodged it and turned clockwise quickly towards Gregory's back. He hit Gregory's neck slightly. He slumped and started gasping for air.
What the fuck have you done to him?
Alfred moved nearer with curiosity. Gray smiled at him, then hit Gregory's neck again. Gregory coughed out and his breathing was suddenly returning to him.
Alfred laughed.
He's our Hercules after all.
Fuck.
Gregory cussed.
What the fuck did you do to me?
Gray stretched out his arm to him, which he caught, and he pulled him up with it.
It's a secret, he laughed.
Gregory laughed.
We should get drunk and catch up with each other.
Alfred laughed.
I told you he's Hercules.
Gregory turned to him.
And I've just accepted that.
He's really fit to be our boss.
Gray smiled, amazed by the sudden change in Gregory.
He made to talk, but his phone rang suddenly.
He picked it up and discovered it was Avery.
He looked over at the two men before he pressed the receiver.
Yes, hello.
My parents are back and they already knew what had happened.
They want to see you.
You are supposed to come to my grandfather's family house now.
Avery's voice was as cold as ice.
Gray's eyes went wide.
What? Now, Gray. You ruined my life, remember? And the line went off. Is anything wrong?
Gregory questioned as he walked out of the ring.
Yes, new trouble.
Gregory raised skeptical brows at him.
Trouble? Who dares disturb Hercules?
Alfred laughed.
Now, you are acting too forward.
Have you forgotten that Hercules is going undercover?
Gregory threw him a glance.
Now that Hercules is back, we will be off the hook soon.
Yes, Gray came in. But I would like to keep a clean identity until the coast is clear. Though, I will need someone to hint me on the current of things.
Charles is in the best position to do that, but he's out of the city currently, Alfred complained.
Gregory turned around to pick up his shirt.
Call him and let him know that Hercules wishes to see him.
No, Gray said immediately. Though he didn't want them to know about who had really killed his father. He was treading cautiously.
We don't want to arouse suspicion from the opposition.
We will wait for him to get back, Gray decided and walked out of the ring.
And it's not really a problem that you can handle.
My in-laws are back.
Gregory laughed and turned around to look at Gray.
I would like to see you some other time.
Gray looked at Alfred and realized he was already walking out of the boxing club.
Through Alfred. I will be working at his company for cover.
It will be a perfect way for us to see without anyone suspecting anything.
Gregory nodded.
Farewell then, he said and turned around.
I wonder who isn't lucky to be married to Hercules, he teased and eventually walked out of the place.
Gray sighed and looked down at his phone.
He was a bit anxious about how his meeting with his in-laws would be.
When he walked out, he sighted Alfred already waiting for him by the car.
Though, he knew that he wouldn't be going in his car.
His heart took on a slow pounding in anticipation of how meeting his in-laws would be.
Chapter 11 deals with the in-laws. He moved closer nevertheless.
I will take a cab, he told him.
Alfred nodded in understanding.
I will see you soon, right?
Oh yes, Gray smiled.
I lost my job and I need another.
So, I'm thinking your company can actually serve well by hiding who I am.
Great, Alfred opined.
You can come to P.K. Corporation tomorrow.
I will definitely find a suitable position for you.
Thanks, I will leave then, he announced again.
Wait then. He opened his car and retrieved a wine bottle.
Here's Diva Vodka and it's worth $1 million.
I think you should give it to your in-laws since you will be seeing them for the first time.
Gray took the wine bottle and handled it like an egg.
Then, he looked up at Alfred again.
Thank you so much.
Alfred flashed him a bright smile.
My pleasure. Hercules.
He got a cab and left even before Alfred did.
He suddenly developed sweaty palms while thinking about his in-laws.
The car pulled up in front of the big house and Gray's heart skipped a beat.
He finally summoned the courage to walk in after a few minutes of taking the breathing exercise. A couple was sitting close together on the sofa and Gray didn't need anyone to tell him that they were Avery's parents.
Actually, there was a striking resemblance between the three.
If Gray had met them elsewhere, he would have easily linked them with Avery.
They looked up at him the moment he walked in.
Gray gave them his best smile as he walked nearer.
Greetings, my respectful in-laws, he said politely.
I got this wine for you.
He stretched out the vodka. Benjamin stared up at Gray for a moment before he took the wine from him.
Oh, seriously?
Emma hissed and looked away.
Benjamin studied the wine.
Oh my, this is a very expensive wine.
And very tasting as well, he smiled.
Ha!
What kind of expensive wine could this rag afford?
It's either fake or just stolen from others.
Emma shouted.
Gray didn't know how to explain, tell them it was a gift from Alfred, the richest guy in the city.
No one would buy that.
I don't really get what's happening right here.
Is he here to bribe us for raping my daughter?
Now a thief as well.
Emma boomed.
Gray let out a sigh.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but it wasn't a rape nor a theft.
Oh, yes.
She snapped.
You intentionally slept with her so she could take you out of your poverty state?
Right?
Or you deem yourself fit to be with a sexy and beautiful girl like Avery?
Gray felt a stab of annoyance at her words.
He wondered why no one was thinking through his point of view.
He slept with Avery, fine.
But he couldn't even remember how it happened.
Would he have done something like that if he knew?
But he didn't want to say anything.
The last thing he would ever do was get his in-law upset.
Oh, you can't talk.
Cat got your tongue.
Emma continued, screaming the word as if she would wake the whole house.
Gray kept shut and stared down at the marble floor.
He didn't know how he was supposed to reply.
The woman looked as though she wouldn't even believe any explanation he made.
You little son of a bitch.
You this pauper.
She stressed out, anger vivid in her eyes.
Benjamin glanced at Gray again, amazed that he was keeping it cool while Emma was abusing him.
So, he tapped Emma slightly.
I think you should stop.
It's okay.
Emma stopped talking and looked away, but there was still evidence of annoyance in her eyes.
If only she could have her ways, she might abuse Gray till the next morning.
Benjamin looked up at Gray. Sit, young man, he offered, and Gray complied, with a grateful heart.
Emma was still fuming beside Benjamin.
So, we've already discovered what had happened.
Though Avery still can't tell what had really happened.
And I must say it was a great misunderstanding, though the fact that you and Avery are getting married can't be changed.
Gray nodded.
Getting married was the best of his life anyways.
If it wasn't for Avery, he wouldn't have met Alfred.
That aside, proving to Avery's family that he wasn't a nobody was a way to prove to everyone that he was somebody.
If he walked away at this point, he would forever be ridiculed by the Robinson.
So, what do you do for a living?
And where do you work?
Benjamin asked softly.
Gray looked up at him.
I was actually fired today, he forced the words out of his mouth even though they were very difficult.
It was awkward anyways.
Benjamin nodded briefly.
But you should find a nice job real soon or you won't be qualified to marry my daughter, he stated.
Gray nodded his head.
Agreed, sir, he said with a smile on his face.
Benjamin nodded as well.
Then, you are free to leave.
Gray stood up and took a short bow before he turned to walk away.
See this dead meat?
Emma struck suddenly as if she had been polishing her armor for another attack.
Look at how confident he is.
How can a pauper be so confident?
What the heck is this guy feeding you with, Benjamin?
Will it be possible for him to get a nice job? She asked amazingly. Her voice actually pulled Gray to a sudden stop. He turned around to look at her. "I am confident," he reassured with a nice smile and a boldness that amazed Benjamin. "Will you give me a chance to prove I am qualified to marry Avery if I can get a nice job?" Benjamin laughed out loud. "He has some courage and I love that," he complimented. "He's bluffing," Emma hinted. "Well, you asked for it. Prove to us that you weren't a pauper that wanted some solace." Gray's smile widened. He was Hercules after all.